Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Today, the continuation of our study through the Simple Gospel Simply Grace study guide. If you would like a copy of the study guide and the study notes as they are made available each week in advance of the study, visit basicgospel.net/teaching. There you can order your copy of the Simple Gospel Simply Grace study guide and download the free notes each week. Again, that's at basicgospel.net/teaching. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. Now to continue our study, here is Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks. We are moving on to a new chapter chapter 13. It's entitled Living a Sunday Life in a Friday World. And this really gets down to how we live the Christian life. You know, are we going to follow rules and regulations, or are we really going to implement God's plan by grace through faith in Jesus? Now, a number of years ago, to introduce this topic, a number of years ago, when I was in high school, I heard a sermon. A friend of mine, her brother, delivered this sermon, and at the end, he did this story, and he quoted this sermon. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming, and it's just amazing
yes.
sermon, just an absolute masterpiece. And I learned that S.M. Lockridge was the gentleman that delivered it initially, and so I went to YouTube and I found the sermon on cassette, and I just listened, and it's very simple, and it goes something like this. It's Friday, Jesus is praying, Peter is sleeping, Judas is betraying, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are running like sheep without a shepherd. Mary is crying. Peter is denying, but they don't know that Sunday's coming. And the pastor, S.M. Lockridge, just keeps repeating this phrase. And with every turn, this Friday, this Friday that we call Good Friday, becomes darker and darker and more hopeless. It's Friday. See Jesus walking to Calvary, his blood dripping, his body stumbling, and his spirit is burdened. But you see, it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The world is winning. People are sinning, and the devil is grinning. I love how he could turn a phrase like that.
And when you hear him say that, it's amazing.
Oh, it is amazing. And he just keeps going and going and going. And it's you just feel the darkness of that Friday, but then with just that little glimmer of hope, but Sunday's coming. And then he takes us all the way down, and he says, it's Friday. Jesus is buried. A soldier stands guard, and a rock is rolled into place. And you just feel the weight of sin and death just hanging in the air. And as he delivers it, he just stops and pauses. And then all of a sudden, in almost a thunderous roar, just a cry of victory, but Sunday is coming.
Yeah.
And it's just one of the most powerful, moving sermons that I've ever heard. And if you ever listen to it, if you ever, you know, just Google it and listen, you will never ever forget. I think it's one of the most powerful evangelistic sermons that's probably ever been delivered. And folks have come to Christ by the thousands in listening to these words. I delivered this message at Sunday a number of years ago, and I delivered it to make this point. If you're a believer, Sunday has already come.
Yes.
You are a part of this resurrection story, just as Christ Jesus was raised early in the morning, that first day of the week. The moment that you believe, the moment that you trusted Jesus, you were raised spiritually to walk in the newness of life. Sunday is here for you.
Yes.
You're on this side of the cross. And boy, it's the side that is filled with hope and possibility and new life and forgiveness and grace and mercy. All of those things. You have gone through the cross. You have gone through Calvary. And you have come out of that empty tomb with Jesus, fully alive with Christ himself living in you. That is the reality of every single believer. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the deal. It's still Friday in this world in which we live.
Yes.
So it raises this important question, how do we live a Sunday life? And that's what we have. We have resurrection life. How do we live a Sunday life in a Friday world? That is the big rub, isn't it?
It is. It is.
And for many of us, we've yet to figure that out. We've yet to figure out how to live a Sunday life in this Friday world. Mm-hmm. We keep getting sucked back into the world system. We keep listening to that flesh of ours and that sin that knocks on our door constantly. We keep listening to those things, and we keep giving in. And we scratch our heads and say, how much longer, Lord, am I going to have to struggle like this? When am I ever going to gain victory in my day-to-day life? Well, that's what this chapter is all about, learning how to live in that victory that Jesus won when he was raised victoriously from the dead.
Yes.
And once we get this, the Christian life just explodes. It absolutely explodes with excitement and possibility and expectation, because you figured out how to live this Sunday life. Mm-hmm. So what we have to realize is that this is a Friday world in which we're living. This Friday world is antagonistic toward us. It is against us, and we have to realize that. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. And that's a phrase that we hear quite often, isn't it, Richard?
Yeah, it is. It is. I've used it many, many times.
Yes, yes. You're never going to find that phrase in the Bible.
No.
We're in the world, but not of the world. But there's so many different passages that teach that.
Yes.
So you know that phrase is true based on what the Word of God has to say. So we want to spend a little bit of time today looking at what it means to live in this world, yet do so with Christ Jesus alive living in us.
Yeah.
So let's take a look at, I think, one of the most significant passages that tells us about being in this world. It's Jesus' high priestly prayer. So he's gathered his disciples together. He's imparted all kinds of information. How would you have liked to have been a part of that Bible study?
Yeah, it would have been something. It would have been overwhelming, I think.
It would have.
Because this is still before the cross, and you're going, oh, yeah. What is it going to be?
Yeah, we've heard the phrase. We've used the phrase. It's like drinking water from a fire hose.
Yes.
I mean, Jesus was just pouring it out as fast as he could. Mm-hmm. And he knew that the disciples weren't going to be able to understand everything that he was saying, and that's why he comforted them with the fact that the Holy Spirit was going to come and was going to bring to remembrance all that he had said to them. So they had that to look forward to. But as he finishes that, he prays, and he prays in their hearing, and he prays for their benefit. And he gets down and he says, I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. So Jesus was going to depart. He was going to go back to glory. He was going to take up his rightful position at the right hand of God the Father. And he was going to leave the disciples here. He wasn't going to abandon them. He was going to send the Spirit to take up residence in their hearts. And that's what happens with us as well. But we're still in this world, and that's what he's saying. I'm not going to be here any longer, but they are still in the world, and I'm coming to you. And he says, Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. So he's praying for unity, and we need to be unified against this world in which we live. So we're in this world, but we're not of it. Then down in verses 14 through 17, it says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. So Jesus Christ was not of this world. Throughout the Gospel of John, and really throughout all four of the Gospels, we see that he's always come down from heaven. He is the bread of life that came down from heaven. So he is otherworldly. He is not a part of this world. And it says the world has hated him for that. And the world has hated the disciples. And so he prays again, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. And he says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. So let's work through this a little bit. So in John 17:11, even though Jesus would not remain in the world, what did he say about his disciples?
That they would remain in the world.
That they were going to remain in this world. So what was his prayer for them, and for what purpose?
That his Father would protect them by the power of his own name, the name that the Father had given Jesus, so that they may be one as we are one.
So that they would be in unity.
Yes.
And you get the sense that Jesus, going through the life that he lived and then coming to the end and taking upon himself the sins of the world, it was this understanding, this reality that he and the Father were one, that comforted him and his yes. anguish, and gave him strength to move forward and to say, not my will, but yours be done. Mm-hmm. And so he wants that same for his disciples, and he wants that same for the church, the body of believers, to which we are a part.
Yes.
So you're a member of the body of Christ. I'm a member of the body of Christ. We're not a part of this world anymore. We used to be. We were called out of this world. We were placed into the body of Christ. That's where we belong. And so for our strength and comfort, we need to be one with one another, one with Christ, one mm-hmm. with one another. That's going to be the thing that helps us in this world in which we live.
Yeah, it was important for me to finally understand that throughout Jesus' ministry and all of the things that happened up to and through the cross and into the tomb, he never set his jaw and gutted it out.
He did not.
Never once. He never said, okay, I'll get through this. Never gritted his teeth. He always just looked to the Father. He kept his eyes fixed on the Father and responded by faith to the Father's initiative in and through him. That's what he has invited us to.
And then when his time came, mm-hmm. the writer of Hebrews says, for the joy set before him.
Yes.
He endured the cross. Mm-hmm. He suffered the shame on our behalf, so that we could experience new life in him.
Yes.
That's the life of Jesus. So what is the disposition of the world toward those who have been given the word of God, according to John 17:14-17?
Oh, they just love it. Not at all. The world has hated them.
Yes.
Hated them.
So what can we conclude about those of us who have the word of God today?
Don't be surprised if you're hated.
That's exactly right. The world is not our friend.
No.
The world isn't standing up cheering because we have the word of God. As a matter of fact, that makes the world mad. Why?
Yes.
Because who's the head of this world system in which we live today?
Satan is.
Satan, our arch enemy. Mm-hmm. And so he doesn't want the word of God to reach anybody. But
yeah.
after the word of God reaches somebody, and causes them to be born again into a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, then he looks and says, we've got to get after that guy.
Really?
Yeah, we're not for that guy anymore. So the world is not for us, it's against us. The world will never be your friend. So don't try to be friends with the world.
Correct.
You have to understand that. So he says, my prayer is not that you take them out, but you protect them from the evil one. He says, I want to sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. So how are we going to be protected in this world in which we live?
By God's word.
By God's word. Now, do we believe that to be true?
Most of the time we don't.
We don't. We
really don't.
We don't. We want to try to fit in.
Yeah.
We want to try to make ourselves look relevant in the world system. Mm-hmm. And what that means is we're trying to mimic what the world system is.
Yes.
And say, oh, we're not so different. Well, the fact that we've been born again, the fact that God lives in us and the person of the Holy Spirit makes us different. The fact that we have the Word of God, truth, makes us different. It sets us apart from the lies of this world. So recognize that. Don't try to blend in and make yourself look like you're one of the world. You were, but you've been called out of that.
Yes.
You've been set apart by the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God. Allow that Word of God to continue to sanctify you. Mm-hmm. Continue to renew that mind of yours and align it with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the only way that you're going to be able to speak back into the culture and have any impact.
Yes. 20 years ago, the description seeker sensitive became very popular in church growth and among churches. And what we missed when we were playing that game was that truly there were people who were seeking. They weren't seeking us. They were seeking Jesus.
Right.
If you take them Jesus unapologetically, change occurs. If you just try to soft sell your form of religion, nothing happens. It's just a total failure.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, statistics will tell us that, the age group 18 to 25 mm-hmm. are leaving the church by the droves. It's staggering. I think it's like 75% are leaving, never to return. Mm-hmm. And so leaders are scratching their heads saying, what do we do? And so part of what they have done has tried to make their services younger.
Yeah.
They've changed.
Cooler.
Yeah, cooler, changed the way of the music, hip and trendy. You know, we're wearing skinny jeans and, doing our hair differently and all of these sort of things. And still the kids are leaving. Why? Because they don't want that. I mean, they get that anywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, they get the hip and trendy out there in the hip and trendy world. What they're looking for is truth. Mm-hmm. They're looking for love. They're looking for something genuine and authentic and real. The gospel provides that. We don't have to doll it up. We just have to deliver it and let the power of the gospel do its work. And that's how we speak into this culture. Peter said something else about us. We're not of this world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. Peter wrote this in his first letter. He said, "Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles, or aliens and strangers, to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul." Yeah. So what does Peter say about us now that we've come to know Christ in relationship to the world?
It's like we don't belong.
We don't. We're foreigners.
Yeah.
We're aliens.
Uh-huh.
And that's what the world looks at us like. You're crazy. You're weird. You're bizarre. But we should take that as a compliment, because they've recognized that something is different about us. And it's not us. It's the fact that Christ has done something in us, and it's the fact that Christ has come to live inside of us.
As long as it's Jesus who has made us that way,
right,
and not us trying to put on airs.
Yeah, we can act strangely
just
because we're
time.
Choosing to do that. but if we're really recognizing our new identity in Christ, we're recognizing that we don't fit into the world system anymore. I know in my own life, after I really came to know what the gospel message was all about and really started to see my life change. I went back into some of the bars I used to go into at my college, the University of Georgia there, and it just didn't feel right anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted it to feel right, but it just didn't feel right anymore. I didn't belong there anymore. It took me several times to really figure that out and say, hey, I don't want to go back in those places like I used to. It's not because I was judging. It's just I didn't feel like I fit. I didn't feel like I belonged. Why? Because something had happened inside of me.
One of the interesting things that happens, and it's kind of unexpected, we sort of expect that, okay, I won't be going to bars anymore. But when you walk into certain churches, after you really come to grace, and you look at it and you say, I'm just not comfortable here anymore. I don't belong here anymore. That's an indication of something. You know, you're not angry about it. You're not throwing darts at anybody. It's just a realization that something truthful isn't being presented. Therefore, I no longer fit in.
Right.
And again, it's not judgmental. It's just a recognition of something. And sometimes God has you leave, and sometimes he has you stay and bring the gospel to other people.
Yes, absolutely. So we have this world system. We're not a part of that world system anymore. I have to ask the question, how did the world system come about? We have to go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. That's when it had its genesis. And it happened at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So John gives us a pretty good description in his first letter as to what this world system really is. Yeah. And he says, for everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. So what's that world system made up of? What do we find out there in the world?
Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life.
Yeah, the boastful, some translations say.
Yes.
The boastful pride of life. Mm-hmm. So that's what we see out there in the world. So you have the lust of the flesh. So we live to gratify the desires of the flesh when we were lost and dead in sin. Mm-hmm. That's the way the world system operates. So people are recognizing those lusts of the flesh, and then they are planning on ways to gratify those lusts. And it could be sexually, it could be through power, through prestige, through any of those things. Those are lusts of the flesh. And we see them, we go after them. That's the world system. The lust of the eyes. We see what other people have. And we think, oh, they have that, and they're really happy. I want what they have.
Yeah.
And we go after those sort of things. And then the boastful pride of life. Boy, we're always boasting about the things that we have or the things that we have done. Yeah. You know, you go to gatherings and somebody tells a story, and most of the people sitting there listening to that story aren't really listening. They're trying to come up with the one-up story that they want to tell to follow. Mm-hmm. Well, you think you had something good happen to you. Well, listen to this. Let me boast about what I did, or let me boast about what I have, or let me boast about who I saw and rubbed shoulders with. Well, that's the world system. And he says that doesn't come from the Father, but from the world. And he goes on in the next verse and says, the world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. So how are we to live differently than the way we lived according to the world? Well, we lived in the world to carry out our will.
Yes.
Once we've come to Christ, we live to carry out the will of our Father. That's different, and that's the thing that endures forever. That's good news, isn't it?
Sure is.
So we're in a world system that's going to pass away, but we have an opportunity to show this world system what's going to last forever. And as we live by grace through faith in Jesus, we're going to be carrying out the will of God, and actually that is the will of God for us, and the world is going to have a glimpse of what truly lasts, what they really long for. So there's no need to compromise who we are, try to blend in with the world system. Let's stand out so that the world can get a glimpse of eternity, of those things that will last forever.
They realize that they do have a choice.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, boy, this has flown by.
As always.
We didn't get quite as far as I thought we would, but we will pick up on page 95 next week. In our study guide, we'll look forward to that time. We hope you have a great weekend in the Lord Jesus. We'll be back on Monday for another live edition of Basic Gospel. For more information about the ministry or to donate to help get the word out, go to basicgospel.net and click the donate button. We'll see you on Monday with another live edition of Basic Gospel.